Australia has national laws to protect the environment. So let's start off by, can you tell us a little bit about the current Environment Protection Biodiversity Conservation Act?
I can, and it's a bit of a mouthful, so I'll refer to it as the EPBC Act. And it is essentially Australia's National Environment Act. When it was first implemented, nearly 20 years ago now, it was set up with the aim of providing, within a federal framework, reinforced environmental protection for listed matters of national environmental significance. Listed matters specifically include protection for endangered plants, animals, important natural and cultural places, the Ramsey wetlands, heritage areas, etc. So there were a defined list of matters of national environmental significance. The objectives also included, importantly, conserving Australia's biodiversity, promoting Indigenous people's role in that process, but also promoting ecologically sustainable development. So quite lofty objectives back then. The problem is that two decades on, it seems clear that the structure, operation and focus of the Act is proving ultimately ineffective in its ability to respond to new and, I suppose, profound environmental concerns.
So there's obviously this framework in place. You're saying maybe it's not as effective as it could be. So let's talk a bit about how we know that it's not working. Does Australia have a pretty bad record with kind of protecting forested areas and also animals that live in them?
It does, absolutely. So, you know, I think one of the issues is the problem with, plants and animals. Australia has one of the most diverse collections of plants and animals in the world, and I think the continent is home to more than 1 million known species of plants and animals. But we are in the top five for extinction of animals and plants species, which is a huge problem. And since the implementation of the EPBC Act, the number of threatened fauna has actually risen by 35%. So the statistics aren't good on that front. In terms of land clearing, what we know about that is the loss, fragmentation, degradation of Australia's native vegetation through land clearing are the major causes of biodiversity loss, dry land salinity, and, of course, one of the largest components of greenhouse gas emissions. Now, our National Environment Act does not include a trigger for land clearing. It does not include a trigger for climate change, so for greenhouse gas emissions. So if a project does impact obviously connect with one of those issues, then it's not necessarily going to be directly triggered by the provisions of the EPBC Act. And that is quite extraordinary. So what we can see in the last 20 years or so is massive changes in the focus of environmental concerns domestically and globally.
Do you think that this federal act requires kind of immediate work to account for the changing nature of the world, including effects of climate change?
I do. And not only that, I actually am not sure that I agree with the framework of the act. So the idea that the Commonwealth would only come in when a matter is triggered and the matter has to be listed is slightly problematic. The other problematic issue is that even if it is triggered, what can happen is that the Commonwealth government can enter into an assessment bilateral agreement with the state government, and effectively what happens there is that state governments take control over the assessment and approval process of the project. So it's almost as if there's a sort of delegation of responsibility. Now, sure, the state government, the department has to be accredited, but the accreditation standards are fairly loose, quite generic, so it's not too difficult to get accredited. And effectively what you have then is it looks like you're getting reinforced Commonwealth environmental impact assessment on the basis of all those lofty objectives that I outlined. But what you're actually possibly getting is a bilateral agreement where the process is referred to a state government. And what's the problem with that? is it subject to the same, you know, stringent responsibilities? Does it have a conflict of interest, given that, of course, in many instances, projects that states are evaluating are crucial to their financial and economic development objectives. So it's hard for them to try and assess Commonwealth objectives when they've got, you know, regional and focused economic imperatives. So that's that. I think that that framework is enormously problematic.
You mentioned in the article, and that may also tie in with the idea of the problems of this overarching framework, is that it's actually quite difficult to prosecute breaches of this federal act.
Indeed.
So why is that
and
a
that's
thing?
Exactly. Now, so the whole point of the Environment Act is to assess and determine whether a project should be approved. Now, often what happens, given the problems with this process, is that the project goes through, and the statistics are quite high on this, but it's subjected to what looks to be fairly rigorous environmental conditions, and this was certainly the case with the Adani project. But the difficulty is monitoring and enforcing those conditions, detecting that there's a breach in the first place. Detecting the breach, and that requires monitoring, ongoing monitoring. When you can establish a breach, you have to prove the breach, so there have to be, you know, legal principles involved in it, ascertaining that the project proponent caused that breach, which could be slightly an issue depending on variables, if it's a water contamination issue or something. And then you've got to impose an appropriate sanction. If the sanction, and traditionally there have been very weak, if the sanction is weak, it's incorporated as an operating cost by the proponent. So that, if we don't have rigorous, very rigorous environmental assessment processes prior to approval, you've got a significant problem once the project goes through.
I'm hearing a host of legal problems or barriers, and it seems your takeaway message is that for us to improve our pretty bad environmental record in the future, we need to sort of make it a more manageable framework and also try and incorporate the effects of things like climate change to the existing legislation.
We absolutely need to do that. It's astonishing that our National Environment Act doesn't include the climate change trigger.
Well, I mean, hopefully that is something that will be solved in the future. Samantha, thanks so much for coming on and giving us a bit of information about it today.
My pleasure.